Let's come to our God now in prayer as we ask for his blessing upon his word. Let's pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, we're thankful for this time of year as we are focused upon the mystery of godliness, how God came in the flesh, how in Christ all the promises have been fulfilled. A prince has been born from the house of David. The root of Jesse has sent forth a righteous branch. That this Messiah, anointed by your Spirit, made himself a sacrifice for us. And having perfected this service as priest, is now seated at your right hand in eternal glory. Father, you sent your Son to gather us here today, and we're thankful for the new covenant in which you have ordained, whereby your Spirit has written your law on the tablets of our hearts, whereby the Spirit of Christ has filled our spirits with your love and united us together in one body. We pray that you will grant to us your strength and mercy as we turn to your word today, that we would come, O Lord, with open hearts to what we're about to read, and that you would grant to us the ability to understand and to apply, that your word would be applied to our hearts through your grace and Spirit. Lord, we also would pray that in your mercy, you might also bless to us this sacrament as we spiritually partake of the body and the blood of Christ, that this would nourish our souls, and that as we hear your word and as we see your word explained and illustrated through the sacrament today, that you would receive the glory and the praise. And so, Father, we commit ourselves to you this day, and we pray that you might hear us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll invite you to turn in your Bibles now to the book of Numbers in the Old Testament as we read from Numbers chapter 6 and verses 22 to 27. Numbers chapter 6, we'll be reading from verses 22 to 27. That's found on page 157 of the Pew Bible. Hear now the reading of God's word. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, 'This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them.'" And that ends the reading of God's holy word. Encourage you to have that passage open this afternoon, number 6, and verses, especially verses 24 to 26. We'll be looking at that, but to see those words in context as well. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's a very well-known passage, which we know as the benediction or the parting blessing of the Lord. For thousands of years since the time of Moses, these words have been spoken over God's people, and they're still received today. It's commonly known as the high priestly benediction, and it also happens to be Miss Carly DeRoy's favorite passage of Scripture. We need God's blessing. We are on a journey. As God's people, we're the same as those to whom the book of Numbers was written, as they journey to the promised land. We're Christian pilgrims, and we need the words pronounced over us. And we can be assured of God's blessing from them. These last words of the chapter, God promised this, and I will bless them. Which is why our theme this afternoon is, we are so blessed in the Lord. Three foundational truths from this afternoon. First, where blessing comes from. Second, what blessing is. And then thirdly, how can we receive it? So first of all, where blessing comes from. Well, it obviously comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from bank accounts or reputation or strength, family, or intellectual ability, or even our hopes for something better in the future. Most of us have a tendency to put our trust in these things. We can draw our strength from these good earthly gifts in an unhealthy way. But they could be taken away from us. We are to look to the Lord. The Lord is the one who blesses us. Consider this passage and how it teaches this. The mediator of the Lord's blessings was the priest. So the Lord used Aaron to pronounce these words over the Israelites. The priests had been appointed for that purpose because they were ministers in God's house. As we see from verse 27, the priests were to put the name of God on the people. God had placed his name on the priests in order that they would bring it on the people as a pledge of God's compassion and love. In Leviticus chapter 9, Aaron brought various sacrifices to atone for the sins of Israel. And once that was done, he turned toward the people, lifted up his hands, and blessed them, following the sacrifices. This is how it was to be done. They were covered by blood, and then the blessings of God could shower upon the people. And of course, it was because of sin that there had to be animals killed. There had to be a sacrifice made. Sin separates us from God. That's why the Lord ordained the priesthood and why he ordained the animal sacrifices. They made it clear that only blood, that only death could bring about this way to God. However, all the priests of the Old Testament, Aaron and his descendants, stood in the shadow of the great high priest, Jesus Christ. We read the last paragraph in the Gospel of Luke, just before Jesus ascended into heaven. You may maybe remember what took place there. Jesus lifted up his hands and he blessed the disciples as he was ascending into heaven. As the high priest, he brought the sacrifice himself. And after he brought this sacrifice, which was acceptable to God, that's when the blessing came. The blessing came from the sacrifice made. And today, he continues as our high priest to bless us from heaven. That blood of sprinkling upon us through his Spirit and through his Word. He brings to us through his servants today. And thus, this is no useless or empty ceremony. God's people were actually blessed by this expression in Numbers chapter 6. And they enjoyed the Lord's favor. Today in Christ's name, the minister raises his hands and he puts that blessing of the Lord upon you. That's why the practice of pronouncing God's blessing is very rich from our perspective, looking back as we see Jesus' finished work. We're able to receive it after the fact, knowing that Christ has made atonement for our sins. It's not restricted in its usage or its efficacy. It brings joy and peace to us, the Israel of God today. Each Sunday we hear the good news about Christ's blood bringing forgiveness that comes to us through the preaching. And then after we have heard it, we embrace it and we receive the Lord's blessing. It's more than just a pious wish. The blessing covers our whole life. From the time we end our church services until the following Lord's Day. And so that's why it's not only rude for us to be fiddling around and, you know, trying to get our coat on and all of that during the benediction. To state it positively, it means that you're missing out on the benediction that is meant for you, to bless you. And you're to come to church each Sunday with hungry hearts, expecting that blessing from our God. Well, it brings us to what we see here, secondly, what blessing is. And there are three lines that we see here within this section in verses 24 to 26. In each of them, God's name is repeated for emphasis and also to make clear to us that He is the source of true blessing. Moreover, we see that in each line there are three promises of God's benevolent care over us. His oversight, His favor, and His full attention. So we first of all, His oversight. And that comes from verse 24 where it says, "The Lord bless you and keep you." That's important. Imagine enjoying the favor of the wealthiest person in the world. He was willing to help you out in any way that he could. And yet all the riches that he had could not buy health, nor could it sustain you through your very difficult illness. Regardless of how wealthy or powerful someone is, there's always a limitation on what man can do. But with God, there are no boundaries. With him, all things are possible. And out of his limitless riches, he's willing to bless. Consider a congregation that receiving God's blessing is the greatest gift that you could ever be given. And with that comes the word keep, which means to exercise great care over, to give great attention to, and to guard. The Lord watches over his people and he keeps them from danger and harm. In this context, the Israelites needed to be kept from their enemies who tried to pursue them as they're in the wilderness. They needed protection from harm and danger. Through these words, then, the Lord promises protection from harm. Psalm 33, verse 18 puts it, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him and on those who hope in his mercy." God is watching. And you know, again, here we see where we fail in this particular area. You know, you might have someone at a swimming pool, a lifeguard who's constantly watching everyone, making sure that they're safe and not from trouble. But that lifeguard, as we call them, he might, you know, his attention may be caught looking at something else, distracted. He has limited vision. And someone's in trouble. And yet God's eyes are never distracted. And they never turn away from his own. It's his perfection that he carefully watches over us at each moment of our lives. Or you might be a careful driver. You know, you have all the tips. You've had good instruction in your driver's ed. You keep your proper distance from other drivers. You watch your speed on icy surfaces. These are things that we should be doing, of course. And yet only the Lord can keep you and protect you from making mistakes or from avoiding the mistakes of other drivers. In short, congregation, we need God's blessing and protection. These promises are given to us when we in faith receive the words of Numbers chapter 6. Not one of us should be able to look over our lives and see how God has made a mistake in the way that He looks out for us. And we must expect His protection and care for each day. Well, that brings us to the second line, which talks about His favor, and that's seen in verse 25. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Have you ever seen a face of someone shine? Perhaps you've watched the eyes of children as they glow. Their eyes glow as they open up their Christmas presents. Or you've watched young lovers as they walk together in the park and they look at each other and there is that glow, that spark that is between them. That's the idea of blessing here. The face of God. That's a way of talking about His personality and His moods and His thoughts. And we as creatures who are made in His image, we also share that same kind of emotion. You can tell what a person thinks about you by looking at their face. If someone glares at you, well, you can be pretty sure that they're not happy. But if they smile, then you know they're happy. And this is the analogy that's used here. If the Lord is not angry with us, and if His wrath has been turned away from us, then His face is shining on us. He's no longer a God of wrath, but a heavenly Father who is radiating His favor upon us. But there are a couple of things that we need to keep in mind in order to fully appreciate that. For one, we're not deserving of this. We don't deserve His favor. We're sinful, and we provoke the Lord to anger. And for another, we can only be truly satisfied by God's favor. And thus, God's shining face is an assurance that His grace has been poured out on us. He's not angry with us anymore, even though we're undeserving of His goodness. That's why the rest of that verse says, and be gracious to you, because our God is not just our righteous judge. He's our heavenly Father. And we could be joyful knowing that He looks at us as His own sons and not as children of wrath. True blessing is knowing God face to face. And then we also, not only do we receive His oversight and His favor, the third line is about His full attention and peace. Verse 26, the Lord lift up His countenance upon you. That's similar to having God's face shining on us, except that the words of verse 26 develop the thought a little bit more. God's face is lifted up over us, which is another sign of God's favor. The main difference is that God is looking directly at us and He's giving us His full attention. Commenting on these verses, John Calvin says that it means that God remembers His people. Not that forgetfulness can occur with Him, Calvin says, but because we suppose that He has cast away His care of us, unless He actually gives proof of His anxiety for our welfare. So we're reminded that God's favor hasn't moved away. And then you also have promised there the word peace or shalom, which is a very full and rich word. It means prosperity, completeness, health, safety, and general well-being. In other words, it involves God's blessing on us physically as well as spiritually. We all need the peace of God, and we need to be assured that the Lord is looking down on us with His peace. We rely on Him for good health and safety. We need His protection. So you see, this is what's promised to us. His oversight, His favor, and His full attention and peace. All brings us to our third point. How can we receive it? And the answer to this is, the Lord gives it freely. The Lord gives it to us freely out of mere grace and mercy. Now, that's not how people in ancient times would think. That's not how they would operate. They thought that you had to appease the gods, that you had to twist their arm in order to get something that you needed. The pagan person of the ancient times often viewed dealing with their gods the way that we might view dealing with the government, just to use an analogy. The government has enormous ability to lead us and to make our lives run smoothly on the one hand, or they know how to make our lives miserable on the other hand. However, it's often very difficult to get the government to give us what we need, as we may find out when it comes to something like applying for permanent residency. You know, you need to get your citizenship papers. And you hear stories about this, how difficult that is. You know, you're trying to get that, and you got to go from this office into that office, and you're on the phone, and you talk to this person, they tell you to go to that person, and you need to get approval from this and that. Or if you're trying to get approval for a charitable status, for a ministry, can take time and effort, and it's frustrating. It's hard to get a blessing from the government because all too often it seems that they don't really care about our little issue. You need to get a lawyer or a lobby group or a countrywide petition in place in order to make something happen. And that's how a lot of people thought of the gods in ancient times. You went to the priest because he was the expert, and he could get you, out the back door. And perhaps they'll make your life a little easier. We see that same kind of perspective and thought process going in the mind of Jacob, you remember, in the book of Genesis. He spent much of his early life by being a conniver. If he just did the right thing, then God would bless him. And so he wrestled with his brother Esau, as it were, over the birthright and trading it with a bowl of lentil stew. And the same with Laban, his uncle, and the way that he bargained for Laban's daughters and bargained for his animals, his goats and his sheep. And finally, we see him wrestling with the Lord at the Jabbok River. Jacob ends up receiving the blessing that he had been seeking for all his life when he was too weak and God made him lame. And he realized he had to cling to the Lord to receive that blessing. Well, it's the same for us. We can't steal God's blessing by wrestling Him or trying to twist His arm or get His approval by thinking that we need to be good enough for Him. Blessing begins with the Lord. He's the one who initiates it. And that's why God came to Moses and Aaron and said, "This is what I want you to do with my people. Just declare the truth to them." You know, there's no arm twisting here. No trickery. And we see it the most, again, in the giving of His Son. God's blessing came through the curse. Think of what Jesus went through. He was constantly filled with a loving obedience to God, and He truly earned the Lord's blessing. It's not surprising that we read at His baptism and at the Mount of Transfiguration, the Father speaking, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." But then came that week of Christ's passion, when obedience to the Father's will took Jesus into the darkness for us. It wasn't just the weight of the heavy cross and His flayed back that drove Him to His knees. It was the burden and the weight of our unfaithfulness and our sin As he paid for that sin of our faithless hands and our wandering feet and our idolatry and all our sin. And that's where we see where the cross really brings us the ultimate blessing. Because did God the Father bless His Son when He was on the cross? Did God the Father smile at His Son when He was on the cross? No. He poured out His wrath. And He brought on His punishment. And yet, it's because of Jesus' suffering and His death and being forsaken by His Father that blessing came. Blessing came through the curse. Jesus endured no peace so that we may have God's peace and God's face shining on us today. For He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And that's what the Lord's Supper teaches us. As was said to the catechism students in the grade 12 class this past week, this is why we have God's word preached first, and then we have the Lord's Supper. Because God's word explains what we're doing, and then the Lord's Supper illustrates it. We have a sign and a seal. It's a picture of what has been accomplished for us, and it seals to us the promise of forgiveness of sins so that God's face can shine on us today. And so not only do we hear, what will we be hearing? Carly, profess her faith. We'll also be professing our faith with her. How? By partaking. By eating and drinking. As a profession of what we believe. By remembering and believing all that the Lord has done for us. And so to be blessed by God, it's no small thing. It's not a wish. It's not just some words that we use to close out the service. You know, just kind of like rattle through it, done, go home. It's a divine promise. God's blessing and peace and fellowship will be with us all our days. And when we have that kind of an attitude, we enjoy it and we appreciate the effectiveness that it has in our lives. And so the last words of this text say, and I will bless them. God will bless. There's no question about that. He will bless His people. Amen. Let's come to our God in prayer. Our merciful God, we give You thanks this day that You are a God who blesses and keeps us. You make Your face shine upon us, and You are gracious to us. That You lift up Your countenance upon us, and give us peace. We pray that we would receive this blessing today with thankful hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.